Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
That's all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, Sean Desay of Triumph MMA, Joe handling everything on the social media side and all the stats and analytics that we need for the course of the show. And obviously, if you it's your first time joining the show, we want to let you know that the first 30 minutes will be us covering Duck Dynasty and their views on homosexuality.
Yeah, we thought that was best for the holidays.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
wait. Turn those buttons on.
Sorry, I was turning. Well,
It's almost Christmas.
I didn't want you to ruin that. And since it is almost Christmas, I brought you guys some gifts. So before we get started with the show, I wanted to do that.
Okay, what do we got here?
Well, I want to do Joe first because he's always bringing us crazy beers that you can't find anywhere on earth.
Yeah, Joe, you can't buy this one.
So
that's
this
an amazing gift, Eric.
This one you actually cannot buy, Joe. We made that down with the crews at Saugatuck Brewing. So that is an IPA for you to enjoy. Don't share it with anyone. Just enjoy it yourself.
There were how many in the entire planet made? 50?
There are 50 total. So you have one of the last ones on planet Earth.
Yeah,
so
check that out, man.
Cheers, guys. Thank you very much.
Please give Sean the Brock Lesnar.
Oh, this guy.
For Sean, I got you the crew from New Holland. They're Mole Ocho, which is Ken and I. It's one of our favorites.
Ooh. Because I look Hispanic? I mean,
yes, it's a gift of racism is what I was giving you, yes. Because if you know me, that's clearly how I would think. It's not trying to be nice.
What does that even mean?
If we can't embrace racism during the holidays, when can we embrace it?
The celebration of Christ. I mean, if you're from other countries, it's kind of a conflict.
But I guess, traditionally on Way of the Warrior, you would respond with thank you.
Oh no, thank you very much, sir. Right.
Plus, he buried the lead. He's not Hispanic.
That's true.
No, this isn't offensive at all.
Is this the news segment? No. I didn't know.
We just discovered something.
I'm not offended. I'm just saying, it's kind of. I want to know what Ken got.
Ken got one from Founders I had never seen before.
What is it? German what? Look at that, German. How come he gets the sexy lady on the bottle?
We didn't know if you'd like her because she's redhead and you're Hispanic. So we're not sure.
I just said I'm not sexist or racist. I don't discriminate.
We just learned that. So
we did.
Now we know going forward. That is Christmas here at Way of the
Warrior. That is. It involves beer and some sort of weird socioeconomic conversation that probably doesn't belong on this show. So let's get back to the mixed martial arts. It was a very exciting Saturday night, despite what you two thought it was going to be. But what's interesting, you two went on your crazy haterade elf run for about 40 minutes last week about how you thought this was going to be terrible.
You get one flyweight knockout. Hey, so wait, hold on.
He gives us beer, which gives him the right to say whatever he wants to us now.
That's fair enough. I'm just going to drink it.
With all due respect.
Freedom of speech is not free of consequence.
There you go.
I thought it was a great night of fights. What's interesting, though, is that you two, it turns out, were quite right in the problem with this card.
Right. The card was kind of short for me. I mean, no pun intended, but I mean, it was like not enough fight.
Really? Like
I mean, already with co-main event, it was a quick night. That's what I was trying to say. It was enjoyable, though.
Let's start with that.
Yeah.
I kind of like the 8 to 10, let's just get this over with, give me four fights
enjoyable.
And let's move on. Because then by 10 o'clock, I could go do something else, And Ken has said this, when we get to 168 on December 28th, it's going to be till 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. You can't do anything else. You're watching fights from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. Yeah. This is really nice because you watch Fox. I mean, you could watch the Fox Sports 1 stuff if you wanted to, and I did. But if you didn't, you tune into Fox 8 to 10. You're out the door.
I finished shoveling the driveway at 7:59, walked in, sat down, turned on Fox.
Now, the interesting thing, though, about this card is do you hold people in for that fight later when you have two, long decisions to start the card? Whatever you thought about those fights, I don't think you'd say they're the most exciting fights we've seen.
No, and Chad Mendez had a sinus infection, and so that is what slowed him down. But there was no question he was giving Nick Lentz the what for 3 whole rounds. I didn't think, Lozon won the fight. I didn't think he looked all that great considering who he was fighting. I thought he was going to go in and just make short work.
I thought that would be, if you had to tell me, pick a fight out of this card that's going to have a finish, that would have been the one.
Yeah.
The first fight. And it, not that it was bad, and those fights weren't terrible, but again, this is supposed to be a showcase, and I'm wondering if we see enough people stick around to see what is a really cool Uriah Faber finish
in
that fight. That was an awesome. I'm telling you, man. Unless the guy's got a belt, you are not going
to
beat him.
And so I want to talk about that in a second. But to go back to the two decisions, when you look at what won Fight of the Night, and I thought should have, and I know Sean's a fan, Barboza and Danny Castillo was an awesome fight.
Yeah,
that was
cool.
It was a great fight. And who
should have been aired on Fox.
It really should have been, as opposed to...
But you can't predict that stuff.
Well, Edson Barboza, you can't.
He's explosive, I mean, I would have switched those two out, but I guess, they do that was the main event for that.
It certainly worked to get you fired definitely. Up to watch the rest of it. But speaking of Uriah Faber, so he goes out there and makes absolute short work of Michael McDonald, and at one point looked like a street fight, and I don't mean the video game.
Oh, he was a bully.
But I mean, like, he's grabbing Michael McDonald by the back of the neck and throwing him into the cage, and like, it looked as if, and the UFC would never do this, but it almost looked, if you didn't know what was going on, that Uriah Faber was 260 pounds and Michael McDonald was 111 pounds because he just did whatever he wanted to do with him, finished him with the guillotine choke. And so when you come to Sunday night or Sunday morning, Ken, when they send me and my friends the list of rankings, obviously after last week's announcement that GSP is walking away, he can no longer be in the pound for pound list. So you have this conundrum, who's that 10th person you're going to put on the list? And I put Uriah. He's 14-0 in his career against people who don't have a belt. And so I might be wrong in this thought process, and I'd like to get your feedback, hopefully more positive than just telling me I'm an idiot. But I didn't think of anybody else on the roster who would belong on that list who has something like that, where you're literally undefeated as long as the belt isn't on the line.
How does that go on pound for pound?
It's a tough spot.
Who else would you have put?
I think I said this, and I didn't know I was turning into one, but it feels like I'm turning into a Uriah Faber apologist because, I mean, you dismissed this fight a bit last week, Sean. I don't know if you thought he was going to win. You certainly, I think I'm safe to say you didn't think he would dominate the way he did. Like, that fight was actually winning. It doesn't feel like it went in the second round. It feels like he ragdolled him for about 2 minutes and decided to choke him out. It actually went into the second round.
Yeah, whether I'm a fan or not, it's just like, okay, Uriah Faber, it's going to be, exciting, slightly, whatever, but I didn't think that was going to happen. I mean, Michael McDonald did not look like he even wanted to be there.
No.
I mean, he did not look nothing. Maybe Uriah just zapped him out or something. Who knows?
And back to your question about pound for pound, I guess I'd ask you, do you have Ronda Rousey? Are you one of those?
Yes.
I had Ronda.
I mean, this was the first week she made it on because GSP was out. So what they do, if you don't know, there's 20 or 30 people in this pool, and then they pool them all together, and that's how they get the overall rankings. And this is the first time she made it in. But I've had her on there for a while because I just think the champ that's undefeated deserves to be there.
But I mean, you've got all the other champions essentially in there in this top 10. I mean, who do you leave out? Do you leave out Benson Henderson? Do you leave out Weidman? Do you not have Weidman?
I have Weidman
in there. Do you Pettis? You have Pettis in there?
Did I have Pettis in there? Yeah, I think I have Pettis in there.
Henan Barao.
No, I didn't have Barao.
You don't have Barao.
I would have Barao over Uriah.
No, yes, I did have Barao in there. Yeah. I could pull it up here in a second. But I guess I was just looking for somebody that seems to me to be a pretty impressive statistic. And I understand your point.
Sure.
Pound for pound, is he really the best pound for pound? I don't know, because if you take the belts out of it and you just fought to fight, he'd probably beat whoever it is. It's just that we talked about it on the show. It seems to be that Kenny Florian syndrome. You have these great runs up to the championship and you just cannot do it. Whatever weight class we put you at, you just can't do it. It's that the weight of that belt. Johnny Hendricks talked with Ariel Helwani this week after the GSP announcement that GSP walked away because of the weight of that belt. And Hendricks, that's all he wants. He wants to carry the weight of that belt. And some people just aren't wired for it. And maybe Uriah is one of them. And maybe I'm wrong in that. But in the spirit of the moment, like you said, a really impressive win that came kind of unexpected. I just thought he deserved the nod.
Well, here's the thing. Let's say Uriah on his next fight is a title shot. And let's say he does win the belt. We don't feel comfortable saying, yeah, he'll maintain that belt for five fights or whatever. You know what I mean? We can say, yeah, he can get to a title shot anytime he wants. But do we feel comfortable saying, can he defend that belt, let's say, three times? No, because he's not consistent, But we felt comfortable with GSP defending that belt more than three times. And, Anderson Silva, John Jones, those guys, and Jose Aldo, they can defend the belt. Three, four times. We feel comfortable saying that. But I wouldn't feel comfortable saying it with Uriah because he's just not consistent at top level.
But he would basically be defending against a lot of guys that have never been able to beat him before.
Well,
and then he'd lose against one or two guys.
We're talking about pound for pound. That's the difference.
So here's what I have, Ken.
Whether you make the list or not.
I have Jones, Aldo, Anderson, Kane, Demetrius, Barao, Pettis, Weidman, Rousey, Faber.
So you leave Benson Henderson off.
He's not a champ.
I didn't say he was a champ. I'm just comparing your list to the list of your friends.
And if you want to make the list of my friends, if you want to make the argument between those two, here's what I would say. I don't believe that Benson handily won the fights that he was winning. I think you could toss a coin in most of them, and the belt could go to whomever.
Yeah, no, I certainly find that interesting, and we do look at the list.
I don't mind being
have an
wrong.
Argument with you.
What I like about this list is I think it does what it's supposed to do. Four guys sitting in a room are going to discuss this and figure out if I'm a complete idiot or if I have a point of view that you would like to discuss further. And I don't mind what you think of me, but that's what these rankings are for, is so that we can have a point of contention, much like four guys that get in a room to do fantasy football. Which running back is better? Well, I don't know. It's kind of an arbitrary thing.
Sure. You're picking out, and I don't necessarily even disagree. I know he's not technically the number one contender because of the interim championship.
Right.
But I mean, essentially what you're doing is you're filling the champs in, and then you've got to fill it out with what
I'd have to pick.
Is one of the number one contenders.
I would take Weidman off the list.
Would you put, let me ask you this, if he wins, would you put him back on?
Yeah, okay. If he wins, I'll put him back on.
You think he's got to win?
And I wouldn't have an argument with Weidman not being on that
list
right now.
I'd put Benson on there before Weidman.
And I don't mind that. I just think, to me, when you look at what Weidman did, you can call it luck, you can call it whatever you want, you can say that Anderson lost the fight himself. Those are all fine things, except for Weidman was the one that did it, and that was my decision.
Even, let's go further back, even though he lost his last few fights there, but I would definitely put BJ Penn before Uriah Faber any day.
What about Johnny Hendricks? Do we not consider him at this point?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, but I guess I was just assuming
he's in the top 20.
I was assuming that in March he's going to have the belt. I'll put him on anyways.
Yeah, so. I would put BJ Penn in front of Uriah.
I find that interesting about this pound for pound list. That shows how random and unnecessary it actually is, because it's basically everybody. Let's just fill it out with the champs and then argue about two or three people. Because I'm with you, Sean. I don't necessarily think Chris Weidman, even though he's a champion, necessarily needs to be on that pound-for-pound list at this point.
Even though he beat Anderson. We're having a discussion.
He beat him. Nobody takes that win away from him. How he beat him, though, doesn't necessarily put him on the pound-for-pound list. He was able to catch him and knock him out, and that was Anderson's fault, and Anderson lost that fight. But is he a better pound-for-pound fighter? I think it's similar to when we look at the BCS and we want to talk about these football schools and where we put them, who's going to beat who, again, who's more likely to beat who, if we really say it at the end of the day. I think if you're looking at those two fighters, most people are still going to say Anderson Silva's beat better competition, done it longer, and is a great pound-for-pound fighter. Chris Weidman, you're the champion. You deserve that. Nobody's taking that away from you.
Undefeated fighter in the UFC.
I don't know if you're pound-for-pound yet.
Okay.
Top 10 in the world.
Total.
I don't know.
Again, and that's why I love this thing, because I think it makes for some really interesting discussion.
Where's Ben Askren?
Right, exactly. Ben Askren is he's above.
I know what list he's on. He's over there, that Brock Lesnar list.
He's above John Jones in my list. Okay. Demetrius Johnson, a big, big, huge win.
Figuratively.
You asked him to do this
thing, and
he goes out and does this thing, and you're
never
still
satisfied.
Never.
No, it was perfect. It was exactly what I was hoping for in his first fight on Fox, and we got it a couple in. I'm just wondering if at this point we don't look at him as a guy who's now always going to be on Fox. We hope for this every time, and we wanted it. Great fight, great finish for him. I think this is a step that entire division needed, is this guy can knock somebody out and finish a fight and do it in spectacular fashion, because I don't remember the last flyweight fight we saw that actually happened.
No, but what's fascinating, and again, to go back to the ratings with the couple minutes we have left in this segment, what's fascinating is at flyweight, you've got a big problem at this point, because Benavidez was the heir apparent, you know, put him in. There should be a good fight. It was a decision, a close one the last time. He gets knocked out. Essentially, it's been a dance between Ian McCall, Dodson, Benavidez, and Demetrius Johnson. You know, you've got Lanker. We've talked about Lanker a couple times. He's knocked everybody out, but he can't make
weight class,
make weight. And so he's an exciting guy to have at that weight class.
But he jumped
up
three spots in the rankings with you and your friends, I believe.
Yes, he did.
I think that's funny, too.
Because they don't really care if he makes weight. They just want to knock people out at flyweight.
But didn't I hear somewhere, Joe, that they recruited some more flyweights? I believe so. No?
No.
I think they did.
It is one of the latest, you know, divisions.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not only do they need more flyweights, but they need more Fox events to, you know, you've got to have, Demetrius has to fight some guys that you're going to care about.
I think this is good, though, because, you know, he knocks that guy. Okay, good. We're done with him for a while. You know, let's move on.
There's no trilogy there.
Right.
So
let's get back.
I'm happy with that.
If you want, let's bring Ian McCall back in. Okay. Let's let that happen. See if he can do this to Ian McCall. I mean, I think it's good. We've got a couple guys up there near the top. And if you can build up in this situation, Demetrius Johnson, you know, I think a Dodson, that'd be a rematch. I wouldn't mind seeing that again. I want to see him.
Dodson's a power hitter too, so yeah. That'd be kind of cool to watch.
Yeah, I want to see him finish some of these guys, or maybe we're looking at a trilogy with some of these guys. I don't think we necessarily need to be down in Lineker or who else is even in that division.
Well, Bogatinov is one that I think people are excited about, Ali Bogatinov. Yeah. But I think you need one or two more fights before you put him in there, but he's a guy that could be really exciting at that weight class.
Well, you know what I really like? I think this just came out the other day, is Demetrius is really happy at staying at Fox and not doing pay-per-view. He's really satisfied.
Well, that's a lot of pressure if you're on pay-per-view, because if you're on pay-per-view, everybody's looking at those numbers. You are directly responsible for not only your own well-being, but everybody on the card.
Yeah, you're carrying the, like when John Jones did his thing.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, and we go back to that discussion we had about the pressure on GSP. Part of that was obviously carrying the load, and people 2 minutes into his retirement media conference call asking him when he's coming back.
This is nice that you're taking a break, but I mean, when are you coming back?
Again, I'll say it again. I even think going into this fight last week, I didn't think it was going to be a finish. I still think this is a perfect spot for these guys at this point.
And I'm not arguing with that, but getting a 1.8 being the lowest of the Fox events for the year.
And his lead-in doesn't help there. His lead-in does not help at all when you've got those two decisions to start the card. And I know we can't make the fights what we always want them to be.
Well, but on paper, Chad Mendes finishes dudes whose name isn't Aldo. And on paper, Joe Lozon submits everybody when it matters. And neither of those things happen. So I think on paper you had what Ken you were looking for. We just didn't get it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And again, I'm not going to complain about the card as a whole. I love the card as a whole because however a card ends is how you're going to remember the card. But right. You have to get to the end. And right. I don't know if you're going to keep the casual fans till the end at this point. Now, next time Demetrius Johnson's on, we might sit down and wait for him because we're going to see him punching that guy four times on the ground before the referee can even get across the ring. We're going to see that forever.
Way to be out of position, my friend. Way to be out of position.
But they're little and fast. You told us that.
All right, when we come back, a lot of really interesting news, including did Chael Sonnen really have surgery 24 hours before his Rashad fight? We'll talk about it next. Plus, Boss Rutan's going to join us.
I'm
very excited.
The Bazzies are this year.
The liver.
Yes, always go for the liver. We'll talk about it next. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, Sean Desay from Triumph MMA, the future home of the champ in the UFC.
Baby. Yep.
He paid me to say that.
You're still trying to get that Mac Danzig fight?
Wait, he paid you to say that.
Well, because he wants me to continue to give him love on Way of the Warrior, so I told him I would. So
I'm going to have a talk with Kevin.
Why? The check clears. He keeps on the show.
He's still big-timing us.
Yeah, he's big-time. Well, I mean, and you get a percentage of the purse, so what do you care?
Yeah, but I'm saying all this other stuff. But before the fight, I'm saying all this other stuff, and I'm not getting a dime.
Boss Rutan will come on the show, but Kevin Lee will big-time us.
Well, yeah. Well, that's because Boss Rutan's more down to earth than Kevin Lee.
Oh, boy.
I said it.
You did.
He knows where to find
jiu-jitsu
me.
Jiu-jitsu practice is Wednesday night at 6 o'clock.
Go ahead and hit and rewind on that Podbean, Kevin Lee. He just said that.
I will see you there.
It sounds like a call-out, man. He's calling you out, Kevin.
So a very weird story appeared this week as Chael Sonnen showed up on a show and they said, hey, we heard the story that you had part of your colon removed prior to the Rashad Evans fight. And by prior, I mean the day before. And he goes on to talk about how he never makes excuses before a fight or after a fight. And he was interested in where you got this information. And so on Wednesday, it started bubbling all over the place that did Chael Sonnen have colon surgery? Now, remind you, there's a particular heavyweight wrestler that had diverticulitis where they had the same sort of thing happen, and this person was out for 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 12 months recovering. So Sounded a little odd, but still seems like a Chael Sonnen thing to do. Keith Kaiser starts to freak out because, of course, Sean, you being in the business, know that they probably wouldn't be pretty happy with any fighter who's getting major surgery done the day before that they're supposed to be fighting in a pay-per-view.
Not that kind of surgery.
Do you believe this?
I do not believe it, and they can't find anything. And then they obviously ended up in Sonnen's camp, and they're like, yeah, no, that didn't happen.
They might have seen it on Bleacher Report.
And you know what? Honestly, like, I know, you know, it's UFC, whatever, but Dana White does care about fighters. Like, he'll tell people when to retire and stuff like that. If Chael really went and got surgery done the day before, he'd be like, no, man, you can't fight. There's just no way.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that
well, and I don't even
that
think,
wasn't
I mean,
the case.
You would think that there's no way it would even be possible. I mean, it's not like he had a finger set back, you know, and he's just going to deal with it. He had a part of, according to the story, had a part of his colon removed and then stepped into the octagon against the former champ at lightweight in Rashad Evans.
No, that didn't happen.
Yeah, but he only had half as much of his colon removed as Brock Lesnar.
See, I didn't say his name. I danced around it.
Oh, sorry about that.
And you said wrestler, by the way, and not fighter. I appreciate that.
Anything for you, my friend. Anything for you.
No problem.
He could have said world champion.
This guy.
So we know.
This guy, you know?
So we're clear.
Wow. Wow.
And speaking of Chael Sonnen, we've talked a little bit about Anderson. He's got a big fight coming up, the rematch with Chris Weidman. But he has said he is very open to helping Chael coach Tough Brazil, which I think would make for a very interesting.
I read he denied it.
Well, he denied going into the actual house and being one of the coaches.
But he said if schedule allows, he would stop by and help coach.
Yeah.
He's not going to be on the show and like that.
See,
stuff.
I want him on the show.
See, Chael wanted that too. He wanted him in that corner.
And that's just brilliant, brilliant work from Chael to do that.
But see, yeah, he said, hey, look, I can't do Ultimate Fighter Brazil. I'm
with you.
Right, exactly. But he did. Yeah, he's open to the possibility if schedule allows. Like, you kind of see those fighters come in here and there.
Yeah.
How brilliant is that he did that before Vanderlei could announce anybody that's even going to be on his team?
Right.
Check.
We'll see what happens there. And then the other big story that came out this week, Bigfoot Silva was cleared for a medical exemption of testosterone and still spiked the needle.
Well, he's big. Big guy.
So he tests hot and then turns right around and goes,
doesn't he naturally have more testosterone than any other human being?
Naturally has more everything than any other
human
being.
You know what I mean? Like, this guy's got, you know, he's obviously not going to, I don't want to say anything bad, but he's going to have health issues when he gets older. Let's just say that.
No, yeah, I think, I don't think that's saying anything bad. It's something he's obviously got to be aware
right,
of.
Right, yeah.
But they do this in percentages, not in total volume, correct? Like, you get 16 times this or 8 times this or whatever those baseline readings are.
Yes.
So, I mean, if he's spiked hot, either his doctor made a mistake or he was using an addition to his TRT exemption.
So he's on a 9-month suspension because of this.
That's not that bad, though.
And he lost his 50 Gs.
It's
going to Hunt.
It's
too.
Going to Hunt. Now Hunt, in his brilliance, tried to, for the better part of the last day or so, to petition to the UFC to get the draw changed to a win because he didn't cheat. And they have denied that. They're going to leave it as a draw. Mm. On the other side, Bigfoot is now suing the doctor who prescribed him the TRT, saying that he felt like a quote-unquote lab rat and couldn't get his stuff in check. So, Sean, spend a couple minutes talking me through a hypothetical example of you have a fighter, and I know you don't have this fighter, but I want to know what this process would look like if I'm in a camp. You have a fighter who's over the age of 30, 35, 36, been fighting for a long time, starting to slow down. You guys go and petition the Michigan Athletic Commission that doesn't exist but should. and
true.
They tell you, yeah, you can totally be on TRT. Whose job is it to watch and make sure that Bigfoot Silva or your fighter in this scenario maintains that level so they test okay?
If you were going to order, it's the trainer first, then the manager. Those are your top two
and
guys.
And so how do you, I'm assuming you've never been in this situation, but could you hypothesize what that would look like? Would you test every week? Like, what would you do?
Yeah, how can a trainer and a manager really manage that? I think I know you're the manager and you're the trainer here, but in this situation, how can anybody be at the top of that list other than the doctor? The doctor is the only guy that can really manage that and medically know what he's talking about.
He manages it. He does all the administrations, all that stuff. But you got to sit there as the trainer because you don't want that mental weight on your fighter's mind. So you get him out of the room, go back to the gym, do whatever. Then you and the doctor sit down and be like, look, I need to see the numbers. It's got to be below this level at all times. And if it ever goes higher, then be like, hey, you need to back off on the next
dosage. Is that something medically you can do, though? Is that something when – I'm not familiar with TRT treatments.
Blood
so.
Samples. I mean, JDS was
– So you can kind of move it around if you want. It's not like a set, hey, I set you up with this prescription and this regimen, and I do this, and oops, we were too high.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, guys. And I am speaking – I'm not a medical expert, but I will speak from a medical point of view.
You might have one or two in your flock, so
yes,
to speak.
Yes, yes. Yeah. All right. When a doctor gives you a prescription and says, hey, you take this twice a day or whatever the case is, or two times a week, he or she will definitely, you know, look at, project the numbers and say, hey, you will never go over as long as you do it like this. That's why I'm saying it's the trainers, whoever's with the, okay. Okay, so
because let me
trainer is with your fighter
right.
at all times,
so
more than the manager.
What you're saying is if somebody's not watching Bigfoot, maybe he took it three times a day.
No, it could be like the trainer would be like, hey, listen, you'll be fine, man. Let's just go ahead and
take another one.
Take another one. Sometimes trainers go under that influence. You know, they want the win just as bad as the fighter. And it's 100% the trainer's responsibility. Okay. Yeah, granted, it is the fighter. And, you know, fighters can plead ignorance or the fifth or whatever and sue doctors and take them to court and be like, have doctors testify. Yeah, he had no idea I did this and whatever. But look at the end result. You get suspended. You get money taken away.
Is a situation, though. So the culpability and the responsibility is with the trainer or manager or both.
Yeah.
But, man, it's got to be tough because you entrust so much to a doctor in that situation. I don't think you go with a doctor if you think you might end up suing him later. And I know they didn't think they would, but it doesn't seem they have enough level of trust if they're at this point now.
Well, but I think, Ken, and we've talked about this a couple times in regards to this particular issue with this sport. As these guys get older, your brain and your body begin to tell you that it's probably time to hang up the gloves.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do that, so they go get these exemptions. But we're so early in the exemption era that I don't know that you can find a doctor at this point that you would holistically trust, because you're kind of just going, I don't know, Joe's a doctor and Joe knows how to write a prescription, so let's go see what Joe can
do. You know what? Just play
do.
It safe, man. Like, what is the limit? What is it? 6-1, 4-1, whatever the case
it's
is.
Four to one, I believe.
Yep. 4-1. Just play it safe. Just do 3-1.
Yeah, but you
you know,
say
that way you have that little cushion, that
but
buffer.
I think any doctor worth his salt and a doctor you're going to trust is going to say, look, this isn't a science. When you're training, when you have a regimen going, when your testosterone, maybe your testosterone's down, maybe it's jumping to normal because you're a fighter. I don't know. I could be entirely wrong. Obviously, there's science behind it, but I think there's also a level of this where the doctor goes, look, this should be 3-1, but I'm not going to guarantee it. So what does a fighter do? They go to a doctor that's going to guarantee it, and you know that guy's probably full of it if he's actually giving you a guarantee that he's going to nail your 3-1 ratio. So I think it's a catch-22 is that a guy wants a guarantee, guy wants a doctor who's going to say that. I feel like that doctor is going to be less likely to be trustworthy than the doctor who's going to – because any doctor will tell you. I mean, you can die going in for a tonsillectomy. Doctor's going to tell
Wait,
you there's
you
risks.
Yeah. Any surgery, a doctor will say it's never 100% guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean,
they have to say that.
But I feel like, and we've seen enough of this, and you've got the Conrad Murrays of the world, guys that'll just tell their patients whatever they want to hear and do whatever they want them to do just so they'll have the job. And I don't know if this is the situation, but I mean, at the point we're suing a doctor for giving him too much medicine,
well,
I think we're certainly getting close to
that
situation.
I'm really curious to see how much that lawsuit is, because if it's $50,000 exact, then I know what the motive is there. So.
Well, I think part of the motive would obviously be money.
Right?
$50,001.
Right?
I mean, he's got
50
future.
Goes in, 50 goes out.
I don't necessarily blame him. He's got future earnings. I mean, he's
probably
going to miss a fight.
Well,
he's at the highest point of his career he's ever been. I think most people wouldn't argue this may be the best UFC heavyweight fight in history.
Yeah. And you've now marred that. I would sue the doctor, too, only because, like you said, this is a guy that in Showtime really, I mean, people liked him, but he wasn't star caliber there. He was kind of, and I don't mean this as disrespect to him, but they used him as kind of a freak show, kind of like they would have done in Pride.
Oh, that's why they put him in. They never thought he was going to beat Fedor, but they had a guy who looked imposing who could beat Fedor.
Right.
Ends up beating Fedor.
So
shave him down to speak, you know, Portuguese.
He goes to the UFC and he starts to figure it out and get things together after he gets annihilated by Cain Velasquez. Has this brilliant performance against Mark Hunt. We couldn't say enough great things about both of these guys, and then we turn right around and you tested positive and now we don't care.
Because that's it. You're tainted.
You're tainted. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter whose fault it was. You cheated or your body cheated or whatever you want to say.
As much as we love Vitor, every time he wins, what do we
Every time he wins. We want the test 5 minutes later. Like before we get to the presser, I want to see the results of the test.
And it comes back clean. He's within the limits, but we're just like, but you know what?
But
he's always that guy.
You cheated before, crazy Vitor. 48-year-old Vitor that annihilates everybody in the weight class. You totally cheated before.
Yeah. So it is what it is. It sucks. And I feel bad for the guy. But at the same time, I mean, I think we all know what we put in our bodies and what we don't. You know, and you should look, you're going into your fight, you know, you're like, hey, maybe I should just kind of back off a little bit here.
Yeah, but you trust what you're putting into your body, too. I mean, you
trust it, but I mean, you know.
You do, but I don't know that a fighter, even at that caliber, knows what they... I mean, I don't know how they're doing it, if they're injecting it or if it's a cream or whatever they're using, knows exactly what that tube is, whatever format that tube is.
They know what it's supposed to do.
They know that what a dude in a lab coat told them it's supposed to do, but I don't know that you totally know. Just like there are plenty of dudes that... You give them a bottle of vitamins and they throw them down their throat.
Hand them a shake and they're drinking the shake.
I understand. You know. I understand. But bottom line, man, I mean.
Should they? Yes. But absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, that's your job.
Man.
Like, we on this show, you can give me whatever supplements you want. Nobody's going to test me because radio doesn't care about that stuff. But if they did, I would probably ask you what sort of stuff you're giving me. If you work in a place where they're going to test you and your body and your blood samples and every other sample to see what sort of stuff is in it, you probably should know what you're taking.
Well, and hopefully what we see, too, as a result of this lawsuit, it's not just a monetary thing. It's going to maybe set some type of precedent and standards for this in the future, what you should look for in a doctor, what the doctor needs to say, where you need to be with your TRT. I don't like this at all. I think we basically been predicting something like this happening for a long time when we talked about TRT. Like, when does it go too far? How do you know if it goes too far? What if a guy says a doctor did this, but he didn't? That we're right here. We're right where we thought we'd be with TRT exemptions.
For sure. And so we'll have to wait and see. But he's suing the doctor. Mark Hunt didn't get a win, but he gets an extra $50K. So he has a very nice Christmas.
Yeah,
summer in Australia.
Summer in Australia.
New Zealand. Where's he from?
New Zealand.
Good for him.
So we talked last week, UFC 171. That is going to be when we name a new welterweight champion. Johnny Hendricks taking on Robbie Lawler. But since Dana White and Joe Silva subscribed to the Ken Evans backup plan scenario, they have also added Tyrone Woodley.
Nice.
Versus Carlos Condit. So if you care to guess who's in the next tier of who could be fighting for the championship belt, it's going to be one of those two dudes. Yep. And the reason they put that on is because, like Ken has said many times, if anybody gets hurt, we just swap everybody. You're already training. Now you get to train for
a belt. And that's smart, man.
It's
a brilliant thing
to do.
I like how they always do it with the welterweights, too. It's always like a welterweight tournament thing.
Well, it's almost as if with GSP departing, they're going to have to figure this out. But GSP was the largest pay-per-view draw. You know, he was the top of the company, so I think they want to just start there again because that seems to be, for the audience, the sweet spot of the weight class. People like 170. They can get around a guy who wins at 170, and so the guys you have right now, people are going to be, they're going to love Carlos Condit, they're going to love Johnny Hendricks, they're going to love, if Robbie wins, you know,
we've got a chance at Hendricks-Condit too, right?
Yep.
Is that what we got?
We have a chance at that.
Which I still believe Carlos won that.
So do I.
Does anybody have Jeff Galooly's number?
Who?
Remember that one? That was Tanya Harding's boyfriend. Took out Nancy Kerrigan with a... Right to the knee, Johnny Lawler.
We are not taking a break for the holidays, but just real quickly want to talk about next weekend as we've got a huge fight. Chris Weidman, Anderson Silva 2 to see if Weidman is the real deal. Ronda Rousey takes on Miesha Tate, and a big one that I know Ken and I are very excited about, Travis Brown and Josh Barnett in the heavyweight division, which could be...
Stacked card.
Yeah, it's a stacked card.
I mean, it's $78, right?
We need it to be because they added another $27.50.
Just because.
They had to make up for the $50,000, so, you know, they want to pay for the lawyer. No?
I thought it was just because.
In comedy, they'd call it a callback if it worked, but it didn't. So, okay, we...
Jeff Galooly! There's a callback.
We will catch you next week, but before we do that, coming up next, Boss Rutten will join us. The Bozzies are coming, and Ken will talk to Boss Rutten about who is going to win, who isn't going to win, and perhaps he'll get some advice on what Bigfoot Silva should do, because I'm sure Boss has advice for that.
He's got advice for everything.
Bow! We'll talk to him next. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
This is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show, and proud to have back on the show once again, welcoming back El Guapo, Boss Rutan. Welcome, Boss.
Hey, good to be back again.
Yeah, we love having you on, and it's that time of year again. It's time for the Bozzies.
What's better than the Bozzies? Nothing is better than the Bozzies.
We love seeing this every year because, of course, every week on Inside MMA, you and Kenny Rice are breaking things down. You're very close to the sport. You're very close to the stories. You're an MMA legend yourself. And when we know the Bozzies are coming out, we know that it's time to really look at our fights of the year and our fighters of the year and all of those great things. What category excites you most when you get to put this list together?
Oh, it's a hard one because, you know, they're all great, you know, the male fighter, female fighter, fight of the year. I like the viewer submissions also. They call it prime cuts. Those are, videos that have been sent from around the world because that's what Inside MMA is. We talk about shows around the world and with crazy knockouts and crazy submissions. You have a really nice one there as well. But upset of the year, the rising star of the year, you know, the knockouts, of course, whether by head, elbow, or knees or feet, you know. So, you know, every category is exciting.
Yeah, I love this Inside MMA Prime Cuts. If people want to vote, they can actually go where? Access.tv/iMMA, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they can go there to vote. And there's some pretty cool things on here. And I think some things, maybe even those of us who are big fans of the sport and watch a lot, like you said, we may not have seen these things. And, man, there's some slam KOs in there. There's a five-second KO in there. There's some really cool stuff. If people want to vote on that with the Inside MMA Prime Cuts.
Yeah, those knockouts are pretty violent, you know. The guy, you know, did you see one of them when he arches all the way backwards and he falls on top of his head?
These are insane. And like you said, you go all around the world with these. So most of these, I'll be honest, I didn't see until you guys had curated them and put them together on the list and put them on the website. It's really cool stuff.
You know, that's the great thing about Inside MMA. We cover everything MMA around the globe, you know. So it's not only focused on the UFC, but we show people that. There's other mixed martial arts organizations out there as well.
Access TV's Inside MMA, Boss Rutan on the phone with us right now. He and Kenny Rice, you guys are hosting the Bozzies Friday, December 27th. It's going to be 9 p.m. on Access TV. I've got to ask, when did the cutoff date for KO Punch of the Year happen? Because, man, we saw a big one last week with Mighty Mouse, didn't we?
Yeah, how crazy was that? Yeah, that one is going to be too late. But most of the time, you know, when it happens late in the year, they will, you know, they added maybe for the next year. We had it in the past. But that was crazy, you know, very well-placed hook. He timed in between two hooks, and he got the knockout, something that, you know, we didn't see from him in the last five fights or so.
I think he's setting the bar high for the 2014 Bozzies.
He really did, because, you know, Benavidez is a tough guy. The guy had never been finished before.
Now, there's been a little bit of a knock, and I wanted to get your opinion on this, on some of these smaller weight classes up to this point, up until this past weekend, where the guys aren't finishing the fights, and everybody was wondering if they had knockout power. Clearly, they do, but do you think some of the luster's off the division when you have guys that are so small? I mean, they're not usually the most popular guys for the casual audience. Do you think it's even harder when guys don't go in there and finish fights?
Yeah, especially for that weight class. Yes, it is. You know, if you have a lighter weight class, you have somebody there knocking people out, that guy's going to be a fan favorite right away, like a Jose Aldo, you know. And these guys you're talking about are even lighter, of course. But you see this in boxing as well. You know, it's very hard. They're just lighter. If you're a heavy guy, you got sense of gravity. If you hit the head, well, the body doesn't move as much. If you have a light guy, you hit the whole body, so that absorbs the punch. You know, and of course, they're lighter weight, so it's harder to knock somebody else out. But make no mistake, you know, like the regular guy on the street who's 220 pounds, he'll get knocked out by Demetrius Johnson or Benavidez.
We've got a big fight coming up here. It's going to be the night after the Bozzies. The next UFC event sees that big rematch, and it's obviously on your list for upset of the year. Chris Weidman, Anderson Silva, UFC 162 up for upset of the year. I'm looking at the list. I don't know if you can go another way on this, but how do you see the rematch going with these two?
You know, it's hard. Like Chris Weidman, if he can get this fight on the ground, that's his safest bet. I know he says in interviews that he wants to keep standing with him and he will knock him out of again. I think it's a way to get inside the head of Anderson Silva. I don't think that with a great striker and you fight a mixed martial arts, you shouldn't strike with him. Should just take him down. Ground and pound, very powerful from Weidman, and his submission game is very good as well. So, but if I look at the last fight, then I go like, okay, Anderson started clowning around. He was better on his feet. You know, he made a mistake, but he also started stopping his takedowns from that moment. You know, so can he do that again? Can he do it for five rounds? That's the thing, you know. If this fight is going to go to the championship rounds, we don't know. But I think that Anderson could make a comeback here. Most of the time when he does a rematch, it likely kills on and it's on.
All right, Boss Rutten 2013 Bozzy Awards airing Friday, December 27th, 9 p.m. on Access TV. If you want to vote on those prime cuts, whether or not you vote, you've got to check them out. Access.tv/IMMA. Boss, we know you're very busy during this holiday season and you're getting ready for the Bozzies. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Hey, no problem. Absolutely no problem. I'll talk to you guys next time.
All right, you have a great one. The one and only El Guapo, Boss Rutten, helping us wrap up the show here on Way of the Warrior. This is your MMA show.